Western, and I'm just trying to learn about that.
Good morning.
Good morning. We are going to call the November 1st, 2023 meeting of the Eastern Municipal Water District Board of Directors to order. We always begin with our Pledge of Allegiance. I'm going to ask Director Corona if he would lead us in the pledge this morning.
Stand. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I would ask the board secretary if she could read the procedures for virtual participation and then take roll call of the board and legal counsel.
Yes, of course, President Polly. We'll start with the guidelines. For virtual participation in EMWD board meetings, to avoid creating acoustic feedback, please mute all your devices during the meeting unless you are speaking. Before speaking, please unmute your device and turn down the volume of any other devices that are near you and tuned into the meeting. If you've joined by phone and would like to comment on an item, please press star 9 now to let our staff know and wait to be notified. When it's your turn to speak, you will hear a notification asking you to unmute your phone by pressing pound 6. If you've joined by computer, you may use the chat feature in Zoom to indicate your desire to speak. When done speaking, please mute your device again. Please participate from a quiet environment so that the board can hear you when you're speaking. And roll call. We'll begin with you, President Polly.
Present.
Director Corona.
Here.
Director Slauson.
Here.
Director Armstrong.
Here.
Director Record.
Here.
And legal counsel is in the room.
Very good. Thank you for that. Go to item 1 on our agenda this morning, which is public comment on anything not on the agenda. This morning, April, has anyone indicated they would like to publicly comment on any item not on the agenda?
No, I do not have any indication.
Very good. Thank you for that. Go to item 2 on our agenda. We have 2 public hearings this morning. We will begin with the public hearing for Community Facilities District number 2023-100, Canterwood of the Eastern Municipal Water District. This is the time and the place for a duly noticed public hearing regarding the proposed establishment of Community Facilities District number 2023-100, Canterwood of the Eastern Municipal Water District, and the proposed rate and method of apportionment and authorizing the CFD to incur a bond indebtedness. I will now declare the public hearing open and will ask for a staff report. Good morning, Thomas.
Morning, President Polly, members of the board. EMWD received a signed petition from BRPLD LLC, a landowner of certain property located in the Winchester area of unincorporated Riverside County, north of Craig Road and east of Leon Road. The signed petition requested EMWD form a community facilities district to finance applicable EMWD water and sewer facilities costs in lieu of fees. On September 20th, 2023, the board adopted resolution number 2023-118, declaring its intention to establish CFD number 2023-100, Canterwood, and resolution number 2023-119, declaring its intention for the CFD to incur bonded indebtedness amount not to exceed $4.5 million, and also set today's public hearing. The project is planned for 446 single-family homes. The proposed CFD will be established in compliance with EMWD's comprehensive debt policy, meeting or exceeding all requirements. Annual special taxes within the CFD will have an average effective tax rate of 2% or less at the time of bond sale, and special taxes may be levied at their assigned rate as soon as a parcel is considered developed. The board has received for review a Community Facilities District report for the CFD prepared by Webb Municipal Finance LLC, which is hereby entered into the record of this public hearing.
Very good. Any questions for staff at this time? Seeing none, I'd like to ask the Secretary of the Board how the hearing was noticed.
Notice of the public hearing was published on October 24, 2023 in the Press Enterprise, a newspaper circulated within the CFD boundary in accordance with the Mellow Roos Community Facilities Act of 1982.
Thank you. If the Secretary of the Board has received any written protest to the proposal, I'd ask her to provide copies to the Board at this time.
No written protests to the proposal have been received.
Thank you. Since members of the public have been invited to participate in this hearing by phone, I'd like to ask if any members of the public who would like to comment on this item, please do so now. Please state your name. Do we have any members of the public wishing to comment either in person or by phone?
I do not.
None. Okay. At this time, I'm sorry. I hereby declare the public hearing now closed. At this time, are ready to adopt the following resolutions. A resolution establishing CFD number 2023-100, Canterwood of the Eastern Municipal Water District, authorizing the levy of special taxes and calling for an election herein, and a resolution determining the necessity to incur bond indebtedness within CFD number 2023-100 and calling an election therein. I will look for a motion and a second on these resolutions.
I'll move approval.
Moved by Director Slauson, second by Director Armstrong. May I get a roll call vote, please?
President Pauley?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
That passes 5-0. The resolution that we have just adopted, form CFD number 2023-100, authorizing a special tax and call for a bond election within CFD number 2023-100, wishes to be held at this time.
All ballots have been cast in connection with the election for Community Facilities District Number 2023-100, Canterwood, of Eastern Municipal Water District, and the election has now been closed. The results of said election, which includes the number of votes cast for and against Proposition A, B, and C, was unanimous in favor of all propositions.
Having heard the statement of the Secretary certifying the results of the voting on the propositions, I will entertain a motion to adopt the following resolution. The resolution certifying the results of the November 1st, 2023 special tax and bond elections within CFD number 2023-100, Canterwood of the Eastern Municipal Water District.
I'll move the
Moved by Director Slauson, second by Director Record. May I get a roll call vote, please?
President Pauley?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
That passes 5-0. The resolution has passed. I will now ask the district's legal counsel if there is a necessity for the secretary to read the proposed ordinance to be voted upon in connection with these proceedings with respect to authorizing the levy of special tax within CFD 2023-100.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The reading of proposed ordinance of the Board of Directors of Eastern Municipal Water District, acting in its capacity as the legislative body of Community Facilities District Number 2023-100, Canterwood, of Eastern Municipal Water District, authorizing the levy of a special tax within the district, may be waived, since everyone present has a copy of the proposed ordinance or may obtain a copy from the district's website.
Thank you. I will accept a motion and a second to waive the reading of the proposed ordinance and adopt the ordinance.
I'll move it.
Moved by Director Slauson, second by Director Corona. May I get a roll call vote, please?
Yes. President Pauley?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong? Director Record?
Aye.
The ordinance was passed on a vote of 5-0. Thank you very much for that. We will move on to the next item on our agenda this morning, which is a public hearing relative to proposed recycled water rates and service charges for the calendar year 2024-2025, amending the administrative code. This is the time and place for the public hearing, which is to be held in conformance with the public participation requirements detailed in Article 13D of proposed Prop 218. The public in attendance, either in person or by phone, will have an opportunity to speak at after staff's presentation before a recommendation is presented to the Board of Directors. Will the District's Council please make a statement regarding the necessity for the reading of the proposed ordinance approving recycled water rates for the calendar years 2024-2025 and amending the District's Administrative Code and certain changes within the consolidated schedule of rates, fees, and charges?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The reading of the proposed ordinance may be dispensed with since everyone present either has a copy or may obtain a copy from the district's website.
Will the Board Secretary please make a statement regarding public notification of today's hearing?
The notice for today's hearing was sent to 313 of the district's recycled water customers and property owners, dated September 12, 2023, and a copy is on file with the district.
Thank you. Will the district's legal counsel please explain the purpose of today's hearing?
Yes, Mr. Chair. The purpose of today's hearing is to ensure compliance with the constitutional provisions in the California Constitution, Article 13D, Section 6, which sets forth a specific procedural requirement for this, namely written notice to all the affected property owners and the setting of this hearing within a certain time period. In terms of the results of the hearing, if written protests received from majority of the owners of the identified parcels object to the levy of the fees, then the fee cannot be imposed. But it's my understanding that all the mailing and procedural requirements have been complied with.
Very good. Thank you. Have any written communications been filed with the Secretary?
No. Zero.
Okay. In that case, will the Chief Financial Officer please summarize the proposed rates, fees, and charges for the calendar years 2024-2025?
Good morning, President Pauly, members of the Board. Today, I'm going to have a brief presentation just on the proposed recycled water rates for 2024 and 2025. Let's see if I can. There we go. So just briefly, I'm going to cover the timeline for the adoption, including where we really started, which was the recycled water rate study that was done back in 2022. I'll provide a quick summary of the proposed water rate increases for the next 2 years. Briefly discuss the Prop 218 notices and the customer outreach that we have done to contact those customers, and then after public comment, come back with a recommendation to the Board. So this is the recycled water rates timeline. As noted at the first box, back in April of 2022, the Board adopted the recycled water rate study that established rates for not just 2023, but projected rates out for the next 4 years. On January 1st, those rates went into effect. As you recall, we kept the ag rates constant, 0% and then 3% on the non-ag rates. Most recently, the Board adopted the budget in June, which included anticipation of this rate increase that you're considering today. Back in September, we did set this public hearing. I did provide those proposed rates for the Board to consider. September 12th, we did mail the Prop 218 notices, and then today we're having the public hearing. If approved today, these rates will go into effect January 2024 and 2025. So quickly, on the non-demand ag rates, staff is continuing to recommend, consistent with the water rate study that was done back in 2022, to hold rates for ag constant at zero for this next calendar year and the 3% adjustment in 2025. For demand ag and non-ag rates, we are recommending a 3% increase in 2024 and 2025. And then as far as agreements, we have many agreements with various property owners and customers. Those agreements will be adjusted based on those agreed-upon terms. Customers do pay the DSC, or the daily service charge, that's similar to our potable water. And then with the next two-year budget, there is a wastewater transfer of 3.1% to fund and help support recycled water program. So quickly, we did, as noticed, send out 313 public Prop 218 notices. Those were mailed in September. They did identify the public hearing date of today and at 9 a.m., we did focus on our efforts to minimize rate increases and really did summarize the recent rate study and the findings as far as what the rate increases should be going forward. So as mentioned, 313 Prop 218 notices. We did do customer outreach for eBlast, 240. As you can see, the activity there was 78 opens and 3 click-throughs, and then as far as the website, this information was also provided on the website. As noted, 83 website hits. As of today, I know we mentioned zero protests or written protests or email responses on the proposed rates were zero. As of this morning, that continues to be the same as far as written protests or email responses to staff. And with that, I will open up for public comment.
Very good. Thank you for that. Before we go to public comment, does anybody on the board have any questions for our CFO before we go to public comment? Okay. We will now hear the comments for those who are in attendance and have filled out a speaker card. Do we have any people who have filled out a speaker card on this item?
I have not received any.
We have no speaker cards. Okay. Since members of the public have been invited to participate by phone or virtually, do we have anybody wishing to be public speakers on this item virtually?
I don't see anyone on the line, President Bob.
Okay. With that, seeing no further speakers and the chambers are on the phone or virtually, I will hereby declare the public comment period closed. Adams, will you please return to the podium and finish the presentation and staff recommendations?
All right. Thank you, President Pauley. So the recommendation today is to adopt the ordinance to approve recycled water rates and service charges for calendar year 2024 and 2025. And amend the EMWD Administrative Code for incorporating certain adjustments to rates and fees and charges. Again, 0% for ag in the first year, 3% in the second, and then 3% for both years for demand ag and non-ag rates. And with that, I'm available for any questions.
Okay. Questions for Mr. Adams?
Well, I got a question.
Director Corona.
You knew it was coming, so... I have concerns about potentially, you know, nickel and diming this rate to a point where it is not really affordable for even for people that are renting property from us and growing alfalfa. And we saw it in the early 2000s. On the potable land with Metropolitan and things like that. That's my concern, that, you know, you 3% here, 3% there, 5% there. Pretty soon you've got, you know, within 10 years you've got a 50% increase and it becomes unaffordable for certain crops. And I think that the farming community has taken on this recycled water, and it's not the greatest water in the whole world, but it is wet, and you know, we have this partnership with the ag community, and they're taking our water, and we're giving them a reasonable rate, and I want that to continue, but I know that absent the agriculture taking that water, what would we do with that water? We'd have to dispose of it. And we've already come out and said to dispose of it would cost like $95 an acre foot. So, you know, I think there's already a huge benefit to not having to dispose of it other than to sell it to the ag community. And not only that, but it frees up water and groundwater that ag would otherwise used, that can be used for domestic use. So I'm not sure that I'm in favor of any rate increase. I think, you know, the way things are going and the expansion of residential and commercial in the area, you're going to see maybe less ag, you know, and then you're going to have to find a place to take it. I know we're working on our pure water project, and it could take that. But I'd hate to see a competition within the district of pure water project versus ag, and getting to that point where, well, ag just says, well, you know, I can't afford it. I mean, you know, where I'm at down there, the recycled water is not affordable for a lot of uses. So and there's, you know, failure to expand the system down there to get more ag involved. So I don't know that I really want to vote in favor of this. So I guess that's just a comment, I guess. It's not really a question.
I was waiting for the question.
Yeah.
And Dr. Corona, I appreciate the feedback. I think that there's a number of comments that you made. I'm not going to be able to address all of them, but I will address a couple. One is we are committed as partners with the ACT community. You know, we have a long-standing partnership from the days when we were producing secondary treated wastewater, and they have been, frankly, the reason why we, year after year, on average, we use 100% of our recycled water. Absolutely. I think that partnership has been longstanding, and we're going to continue that partnership. Our priority is to serve the ag community when it comes to recycled water supply. For that reason, our rates are the lowest, frankly, statewide. Today, as we sit here, we're offering recycled water to the ag community at $48 an acre foot. It's a discounted winter rate because we want to avoid discharge, as you described. To your point about looking at the cost of discharge and factoring that in, we do. In fact, our wastewater customers, as you're aware, subsidize our recycled water enterprise. And that subsidy increased as a result of the recycled water rate study that we completed in 2022. But I will say this. We, along with our partners in USBR and Metropolitan, have invested over $200 million in recycled water infrastructure to be able to serve our recycled water customers. That was strategic in nature because we did not want to discharge. But to be able to maintain that system, to be able to maintain the pump stations and the pipelines and the storage facilities, there is a refurbishment component to serving recycled water customers that we would otherwise not have if we were to simply discharge. We would not have made those investments. It was the right investment, and we will continue to invest in that recycled water infrastructure. And I guess my last point is what we are recommending here is exactly consistent with the recommendations of the recycled water rate study that was completed in 2021. And I'll remind the board, at the time, we had not yet seen the significant inflationary impacts on power, on chemicals, on everything else. We've had to increase our potable water rates, unfortunately, greater than the 3% we're recommending for the second year of this biennial recommendation. So I would just ask the board to take that in consideration. We have absolutely done everything we can to mitigate the impacts on all of our recycled water customers, but I fully subscribe and I fully agree with your position that the ag community is of utmost importance to us. And my last point is you mentioned the purified water replenishment. Our objective is to make sure we provide that proposed 4,000 acre feet per year recycled water from growth. We are still continuing to see 4,000 to 5,000 additional connections per year, significant amount of growth. And we want to make sure we put beneficial use to every drop of that water that is generated. That is the rationale behind our purified water program.
So is this a debate? I take issue with the word that ag is being subsidized. Because, like I said, who needs to get rid of the water? Okay,
we do.
The flushers need to get rid of the water. And the ag for years and years has been taking it. And ag is typically expected to take everything that people don't want. They're expected to take the recycled water. They're expected to take sludge. They're expected to take yard waste. They're expected to take all these kinds of things and then turn around and say, well, you're getting subsidized. Well, not really. Not really. You've got recycled water that's 700 TDS water. If you use it for long enough, you're going to have to amend your ground and get some type of acid or something in there to balance out the salt that you're putting on there. So there's an additional cost regardless of whether, you know, if you're going to use recycled water, yeah, it's great, but you still have to, there's more costs involved in using that than using well water, depending on where you're at. But anyway, I'll let others talk. So.
Director Record, and then we'll go to Director Slauson.
Well, I appreciate Director Corona's position. This has been a long-going process, and as Joe mentioned, we've done rate studies, and we've had really good discussions along the way. There are so many areas of this district that don't have the availability of groundwater, either through water quality or the ability to drill a well. I mean, we've got something on our agenda today to drill monitoring wells at $600,000 a well. So I don't think we have to talk about subsidizing ag or not subsidizing ag. If you look at how our rate compares to other rates in California, it's extremely affordable, I believe. And as a farmer, to me, a 3% rate increase in my water is not going to determine whether or not I farm. There's so many other things that are out of control. Labor, equipment, fuel, you name it. So I think that 3% with the kind of inflation that we've seen the last few years is reasonable. And I'm proud of how we work with growers and the fact that we have this water that's available. And there are a lot of things in the area that have changed, as you know. I mean, we don't have the dairy industry that we had to utilize some of the feed that used to be grown with this water. I mean, we increased the treatment to a level where you can use it for anything. So that opened up a lot of uses. And I don't know what demand is. I assume that demand exceeds supply during the growing season. And if that's the case, then I'm not sure that ag is doing us a favor by taking it. I think it's a partnership, and sometimes it works to our benefit, and sometimes it works to their benefit. So I will vote in favor of this rate increase that was developed a long time ago, and I think it's appropriate.
Director Slauson.
I think Director Record said everything I was going to say, except I would add, I agree with Director Corona regarding the word subsidized, because you can make the case that the opposite applies, that ag is covering some of the cost that the sewer customers would otherwise pay. So anyway, but I think overall the 3%, 0 and 3% is pretty minor, and I think the way we've structured the rate, it is a good balance. So I support it as well.
Director Armstrong, questions?
No questions. I agree with the comments that were made. I guess my one comment would be I view recycled water more as an asset, and if the wastewater customers are generating, I think they have an asset, and I think it has value. So I don't view it as something that we just have to dispose of. I support this, and I'm glad that we have a rate study that backs everything up, and put a lot of time into the rate study, and I think it's appropriate.
I have a question. So we indicated that we are the lowest provider cost-wise of recycled water in the state. Is that correct?
For ag, yes.
For ag, okay, that's right. For ag. With this rate increase, will we still maintain that as we are still the lowest?
Yes.
Okay. So, any other further questions or discussion? All right. In that case, no further discussion. Is there a motion, a second, to adopt the proposed ordinance to approve the recycled water rates and service charges for the calendar years 2024, 2025, and amend the district's administrative code?
Move approval.
Director Record will make a motion.
Second.
Director Armstrong will make a second. May I get a roll call vote, please?
Yes. President Pauley?
Aye.
Director Corona?
No.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
And that passes on a vote of 4-1. This concludes the public hearing, and we will move on to the next item on our agenda, which is item 3, which is executive reports. We'll start with the general manager, Mr. Mawad.
Good morning, President Pauley, members of the board. My report is included in your packet. Under new and ongoing items, I wanted to share with the board that last week I had the opportunity to participate on a panel at Metropolitan to discuss water affordability, and specifically household water affordability. It was a really robust conversation that took place. On the panel, along with me, was the City of LA, as well as NGO representatives. I took the opportunity to share with the committee everything that Eastern has done over the years from our rate structure that was designed specifically to make sure that the least costly supply of water is available to our Tier 1 and Tier 2 customers, to our Help to Others program that is funded by non-rate revenue and that is available to our financially disadvantaged communities, as well as to our UC Riverside study that was completed back in 2019. I was able to highlight some of the findings from that effort and also share with them the overarching goals of the ongoing study between us, Metropolitan, and UC Riverside that looks at the region-wide water affordability issue. I also took the opportunity to emphasize our perspective that Metropolitan's mission is to be fiscally responsible and to reinforce and maximize the least cost water supply for Metropolitan, which is the State Water Project and the Colorado River Supplies. And that should be foremost among Metropolitan's priorities going forward. So I look forward to continue to engaging on this topic and other topics that met, but I wanted to let you know that it was a robust conversation, and we will continue to track and contribute as needed. Next, I wanted to share with the board that last week, Director Armstrong submitted a letter to Chair Ortega that provides comments and feedbacks on Metropolitan's long-range financial plan. And our comments were focused on our desire to make sure that Metropolitan continues to prioritize its collective and its economy of scale approach to financial challenges that we are facing. As we go through the Climate Adaptation Master Plan, there will be decision points that have to be agreed upon among the Metropolitan member agencies. And how we fund and how we pay for those additional investments is going to be really central to the path forward for Metropolitan. So I thought Dr. Armstrong and our team really did a great job to outline and reinforce, again, Metropolitan's mission. What is Metropolitan's mission? And our desire to also look at ways to possibly lean more into the ad valorem tax revenue so we can have Metropolitan's fixed revenues match its fixed costs versus variable. So we will make certain that all the board members receive a copy of the letter. We are also planning to share the letter and our perspective at next week's Inland Orange County Caucus and also at future forums as well. Just wanted to make the board aware of the communication with Chair Ortega. Next, I wanted to share with the board that, as you're aware, we have an interagency agreement with the Nueva Water Company. In fact, that agreement from 2000 establishes the provisions for Eastern to provide potable water to Nuevo for blending purposes. On average, we provide somewhere around 474 acre feet per year of supply to Nuevo. And as part of the agreement, there was a credit identified in the amount of $65 back in 2000. And as we all know, the wholesale rate has increased significantly over the last 23 years, but yet the credit has not. Recently, on October 10th, I received a request from the Nueva Water Company general manager for Eastern to revisit the credit and requesting that we look at the possibility of adjusting the credit to reflect the increased cost of wholesale water. So we're currently reviewing the request. We're also reviewing the agreement, as well as our admin code. And we will formulate a recommendation that we would like to bring back to the board by the end of the calendar year. Under items of interest to the board, I'm very pleased to share with you that based on our submittal to water reuse, Valleywide has been selected as Customer of the Year for Southern California. So next week, myself, I know President Pauly and others will be at the conference to accept the award along with Dean Wetter from Valleywide. I think it's an incredible recognition of our recycled water program and, frankly, the achievements by Valleywide to retrofit many of their parks and facilities from potable to recycled water. And I'm really, really pleased to see them being selected as Customer of the Year. And finally, I wanted to mention to the board that we have resumed our in-person business connection events. We were on hiatus during the pandemic, but last week we did have an opportunity to meet with over 60 vendors and suppliers and contractors that attended our event, shared with them how they can, whether they're continuing to do business with us or they're new to EMWD, how they can provide support service to us. And frankly, we look at those relationships as partnerships with our vendors and suppliers. And it was an opportunity to reconnect with them and also to connect with each other so they can do business within the community. Really appreciate President Pauly attending that event. We will have another event tomorrow, specifically tailored to construction contractors and consultants. Again, we have over 60 RSVPs for that event. So we look forward to engaging with the community and sharing with them opportunities to continue to help us meet our mission. With that, I'd be happy to take any questions the board may have.
Any questions? Director Armstrong.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a couple comments to kind of tag on to your first two items. The first one, your participation at the affordability panel. Just really appreciate, Joe, your engagement and willingness to do that, to share all the different programs and approaches that Eastern has implemented and really tailored to its customers and to fit our customers directly, I thought was very impactful to the board members that listened to it.
Thank you.
You did a great job, and I know you've been on a couple panels lately, and I think every time you come and speak, I really think that the board members are listening to what you have to say, and you're doing a great job with it. So I really appreciate it. And I think that this issue about affordability, it really should start at the retail level, not at a wholesale level to address it. And where retail agencies have programs in place and they can share that information with other agencies, I guess there's 300 or something retail agencies in Met's service area, and everybody should be talking and sharing and finding what works for them and trying things that they haven't thought of. And I think that's the first step. So you volunteering to go and share the information, I think, was really very helpful. So appreciate it. And you did a great job.
Thank you, Dr. Armstrong.
And then on the second item, the long-range financial plan and submitting our thoughts and comments, the team really did a great job of formulating that and putting that on paper. And at one of the finance committee meetings recently, the chair of the finance committee from San Diego had submitted a letter with their thoughts. And he really encouraged member agencies to do the same. I don't think anybody has except for us now at this point. But I think it's really important to put our thoughts and our input on paper and formally submit that. And so, again, I just really appreciate that we did that, and it was done in the spirit of collaboration and in the spirit of trying to help this process move along. And so it's meant to be very positive, and so I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And I'll share with you, Dr. Armstrong, I had an opportunity to catch up with the Metropolitan General Manager yesterday, and we talked about the letter, and he was very appreciative that Eastern has decided to engage in this process, because that's what he would like to see, is agencies like us really be forthcoming and provide and add value to the conversations and to the discussions that are occurring in Met. So he was very appreciative of our letter.
Any other questions, comments for the general manager?
I got two quick ones. First, yes, I am always pleased with our partnership with Valleywide. As you know, we just connected a few more parks and schools in my division with them, and thrilled that they're receiving this award. And then second, just on a comment on the business lunch today, that was a spectacular event. I sat next to a gentleman that provides gases to us, and he had no idea. So educating the people, our vendors, that we're the largest water district in Riverside County, the sixth largest in the state, I think is really helpful for the people that do business with us. So I just want to encourage that those are great events. I look forward to tomorrow's.
Thank you, President Pauly.
Very good. With that, Laura, anything for us this morning?
Nothing this morning.
Very good. Nick?
Thank you, President Pauly. I do have one item I want to share with the group. Today is bid opening for the Los Alamos Hills water system project. In fact, in about 20 minutes, we'll be receiving bids. And It's been a year and a half of, a very successful partnership with the city in moving this project along. So we're hoping that we'll get a good bid today, good contractor to allow us to continue to move this forward. We've already received the city's contribution of ARPA funding in amount of $3.3 million towards this project. So we're hoping to be able to use that money wisely and moving the project forward for construction. So with a good bid opening, once we've done our assessments, anticipate that we'll be before the board next month with a recommendation for contract award.
Very good.
Good morning, President Pauley and members of the board. Last week, staff from EMWD and the South Coast Water District met to review the latest draft of the term sheet for a cost-share agreement for EMWD's potential participation in the Doheny Ocean Desalination Project. It was a very productive discussion. The revised draft incorporated many of EMWD's comments on the previous draft, which included off-ramp provisions at EMWD's sole discretion, the potential to recover costs should we afford that off-ramp, as well as the establishment of a project technical advisory committee to facilitate EMWD's technical participation in the process. So as we continue this process, we anticipate bringing a term sheet for your consideration by the end of this year. And in the meantime, we are also continuing to engage with Metropolitan on an exchange policy to, again, facilitate EMWD's potential participation.
Thank you for that. Matt?
Good morning. Just wanted to give you another quick update on groundwater recharge progress. So far, we're just shy of 13,000 acre feet for the year. I do believe we're going to be able to finish pre-deliveries for 2024 and maybe just slightly into 2025 before we expect to pause in January. Metropolitan staff this week told us they expect to take a pause while they monitor allocations on the state water project, which they think would need to be over 30% in order to resume in calendar year 2024. That's it. Thank you.
Any questions for any of our deputy general managers? All right, thank you all for that. That will move on to item number 4 on our agenda, which is our consent calendar. Would any members of the board wish to have a separate vote or separate item or discussion on any items?
I'll move the consent calendar.
Director Record.
I should probably abstain on the minutes since I wasn't at the meeting.
All right. Can we, Mr. Legal Counsel, can we take one vote on this then and note that Director Record will abstain on item A?
Yes. I will abstain on that as well as I was.
Okay, there. So we have Director Record and Director Armstrong abstaining on item A. So we have a motion by Director Corona for the consent calendar, second by Director Slauson. May I get a roll call vote, please?
Yes, President Pauley.
Aye.
Director Corona.
Aye.
Director Slauson.
Aye.
Director Armstrong.
Aye.
Director Record.
Aye.
That passes 5-0. Noted that Directors Record and Armstrong abstained on item A of the consent calendar. That brings us to item 5 this morning, which is our action calendar. 5A is to approve and authorize award of contract with ABC Lovin Drilling Incorporated for $1.8 million under specification number 1502W, Purified Water Replenishment, San Jacinto Valley Advanced Water Purification Facility, Brine Pond Monitoring Wells Project, an additional appropriation of $2.4 million. Mr. Stone.
Good morning, President Pauley and members of the board. Thank you for the introduction. As noted, this will be a recommendation for construction award for three monitoring wells for our pure water program. The project itself is located at the San Jacinto Reclamation Facility. And before I really jump into it, we do have a representative from ABC, Leoven, in the audience. He's over to my
Thank you very much for being here today, sir. Appreciate it.
So, as I said, it's located at the San Jacinto Water Reclamation Facilities, and the project is to construct three groundwater monitoring wells to support the future brine pond operations there. What these wells will do is actually allow us to establish a baseline background water quality as it's in situ today and allow us for monitoring in the future for leaks or contamination from the new brine ponds. So the project itself, Pure Water, the Pure Water Replenishment, is part of our Groundwater Reliability Plus program. This phase one portion of the project will allow us to recharge up to 4,000 acre feet of blended advanced treated water and our recycled water in the San Jacinto River Corridor. Part of the project is going to be the purification plant itself, the brine ponds, as well as the monitoring wells. The monitoring wells are coming ahead of time. As I noted, we need to be able to develop background water quality to meet regulatory requirements. The project was advertised in August of 2023. We received two bids. ABC Leoven was the lowest responsible bidder in the amount of approximately $1.9 million. The engineer's estimate on the project was approximately $1.5 million. This is actually our first contract with ABC Leoven. We did an extensive outreach for checking references. They are located here in Southern California, have over 40 years of experience, and we did receive positive feedback not only from their references but also our independent calls to our hydrogeological consultants that have worked with them in the past at other agencies. In addition to the contract award, we need some support services during the drilling. Daniel B. Stevens was solicited off of our on-call hydrogeological services contract to do field observation during the well drilling. Brown and Caldwell, who is the design engineer, we solicited scope from them for services during construction for the review of submittals, and ultimately Cozad and Fox for some site surveying so that we can as-built the exact locations of the wells. The schedule, should the board choose to award today, we would start immediately. Construction duration is approximately 210 days, and we'll be wrapping up middle of 2024. So with that, our recommendation today is an award of construction contract to ABC Leoven in the amount of approximately $1.9 million, a contract award with Daniel B. Stevens and Associates in the amount of approximately $124,000, a contract with Brown and Caldwell Engineers for an amount of approximately $38,000, and finally, a recommendation of award for Cozad and Fox with an amount of $4,600, and then finally, an appropriation of $2.4 million. Bringing the total estimated project to just about $2.5 million. That brings me to the end of the presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Before we go to questions, I'd like to give the gentleman, since this is the first time doing business, if you want to come up and do a quick introduction from ABC Drilling to the board. We appreciate you being here today.
Great, thank you.
Tell us a little about your firm.
ABC Leoven's been around for about 40 years. I've been in the industry for 33 years now. Started off at Lane Christensen, then spent some time at BC2 Environmental, Greg Drilling, and now ABC here for 3 years. Currently, we're doing quite a few projects. Orange County Water District just finished up two big projects for them, and the California DWR Salton Sea, fairly large project out there, as well as the Water Replenishment District in Los Angeles. So we feel we're highly qualified to complete this work.
Well, appreciate that. We always like to give people new to doing business in the Eastern an opportunity to introduce themselves. So thank you so much for being here this morning.
Thank you.
With that, are there any questions on this item? Director Record?
I'm in favor of this, but I'm just curious. I mentioned in our previous discussion about the cost of these monitoring wells. I'm just curious how big the borehole is, and is there anything?
These are only 12-inch, so yeah. they're not large. We have seen increases in drilling costs as well as well equipping costs over the last few years with the run-up. And as you may be, board may be aware, there are fewer and fewer drilling contractors out there now. So right. Competition for their services is very high.
And anything special about the casing? Is it?
No, these are wire wrap PVC. You know, that's okay. Nothing fancy in them at all.
Okay, thank you,
Director Cronin.
Piggybacking on that, how deep are these wells again?
To recollection, I think they're about 600, I want to say. I can verify that for you.
600?
Yeah, I will verify and then get you the exact number.
$1,000 a foot?
Yeah, that's not. Yeah, that's what we're seeing across the board.
Wow.
Any other questions or comments? Then I will look for a motion on this. Motion by Director Record, second by Director Slauson. May I get a roll call vote, please?
President Pauley?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
And that passes 5-0. Again, thank you for the presentation. Sir, thank you for being here today. We'll move on to item B, which is to approve and authorize a contract with Fiera Construction Company, Inc., doing business as Fiera Coastal Construction Company for $665,000 under RFP number 3641 for Moreno Valley Water Treatment Plant Tertiary Effluent Pond Distribution Structure and additional appropriation of $974,000. I take it you're going to present this one.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Good morning again. This is a recommendation for construction award. We do have two members of Ferrera in the audience here to support the
Thank
project.
Thank you for being here.
Oh, and I will jump right in. The project, as indicated in the title, is located at the Moreno Valley Water Reclamation Facility, specifically in the Tertiary Ponds area. The effluent ponds were built in 1989. They are just Tertiary effluent is distributed among the 14 ponds with an ultimate capacity of approximately 214 million gallons. From the Nandia pump station through an 1,850-foot-long, 18-inch distribution pipeline. The pipeline has been found to have some corrosion and some leaks. Throughout the years, the ponds have been reconfigured. Now we need to get some proper structures built to really facilitate the movement of the recycled water around the facility. The project will install some filling structures within ponds 3, 4, 5, and 6. In February of 2023, staff prepared some performance specifications to construct these effluent pond distribution structures. The project was advertised in August under the indicated RFP. We received three bids on September 14th, with Ferrera being the lowest responsible bidder. The three bids are shown in the table above. With an engineer's estimate of $650,000. Should the board award the project today, we will issue a notice to proceed immediately. The first order of business will actually be ordering stainless steel slide gates for the facilities. And as you can see, that will take just a little bit of time. We're expecting about a six-month lead time to get those gates. Then the contractor will actually mobilize to the site to begin construction, wrapping it up in December of 2024. Services during construction to as-built the facilities, as this is a performance-based spec, a lot of it will be done in conjunction with staff in the field. We will use Cozad and Fox to survey that so that we can update our as-built drawings. There leads us to the recommendation for today. First is award of contract to Ferrera Construction in the amount of approximately $666,000. Execution of a contract with Cozad and Fox in the amount of approximately $25,000. Administrative award of ancillary contracts to support the project, and finally an additional appropriation of $974,000, bringing the total project expenditures to just over $1 million. And that brings me to the end of the presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions on this item?
I have no questions.
In that case, I'll look for a motion. Motion by Director Corona, second by Director Armstrong. May I get a roll call vote, please?
President Pauly.
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
That passes 5-0. That will take us to item C this morning, to approve and authorize agreements with Adura for $1.4 million, Jacobs for $740,000, and GEI Consultants for $794,000 for construction, management, and inspection support services.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, President Pauly, members of the board. Yes, I am here this morning to address construction administration and inspection outside support services for the field engineering department. And before I do move on, we do have representatives from the three firms here today. We have Ardura.
Thank you for being here. Appreciate it.
GEI.
Thank you for being here.
Where did Brent go? Brent's right here.
All right.
Jacobs.
Thank you for being here, sir.
Yes. With that said, I'll talk a little bit about the agenda for the morning. We'll talk about the projected workload. It's based off the five-year CIP. I'll talk about the projects we are identifying to use these outside support services. I'll talk about the methodology we used to make the selection. I'll talk about the firms we selected, and then I'll talk about the recommendation. So currently, if you look at the 12-month forecast, we have 44 active projects that are going to be in construction in early 2024. If you look at the five-year CIP, we expect that same number of projects to carry us through late 2025 or into 2026. Of those 44 projects, 11 are the ARPA projects, which are the American Rescue Plan Act projects. So currently today, the staff is managing about 28 CIP projects. Do that increase up to 44, we identified the need to bring on assistance for the years 2024 and 2025. When you look at that, we have an option to go for an additional year. If we do want to look at that option, we'll come back to the board for authorization. There are monies in the budget for construction administration and inspection services in the CIP budget. And then what we'll do is when each project is awarded, we'll bill those guys' time against a specific project. And again, because of the number of projects we're out there, each consultant will be managing more than one project for us. This slide's in here just to kind of show you the hump we're trying to get through. You can see those three first years right there at about $150 million. We're trying to get us some support to carry us through those first few, those 3 years. Only reason that slide is in here is just to kind of show you guys what we've got going for the next several years. On this slide, it kind of shows the 15 projects we have identified to utilize the outside support services for construction administration and inspection. And about two-thirds of those projects are ARPA projects. So the concept is to utilize these outside support teams to manage our ARPA projects for us. So with that said, methodology, what we went through to select these teams. So currently, we have an on-call construction administration, construction management support service list. We reached out to that list and requested essentially a letter proposal. Give us your quals, give us some resumes. In that initial outreach, we had some limited responses. And some of the reasons are they have interest in other EMWD projects. We've got some big CM projects coming up. So they want to provide a team of like maybe CM, RE's inspection instead of just this. Other ones currently have jobs with us, so they're focused on that. The other one is due to the market out there, they just don't have staff available. It's a really hot market. It's hard to find staff. People are scrambling everywhere to find people to, you know, go to work for them. So we've had two other firms out there that have been actively marketing us. So we reached out to them and got letter proposals from them also to give us the same information. So we put together a team to make up the selection or the evaluation team, and it consisted of construction administration staff and inspection staff. They reviewed the quals, and they reviewed the resumes. And then more importantly, they did in-person interviews just to kind of get to feel how this person was going to work for us. So the criteria we used in the evaluation is years of experience, the ability to support multiple projects. If you look up there, 8 to 10, that's a lot of projects. I mean, that's an hour a day per project. Experience in the water, wastewater field, right? Communication skills, key. And then did they understand our processes, especially as it relates to safety, then obviously construction management. So with that said, the team came up and they selected the following firms for a two-year agreement. For construction administration support, it's Ardura at a rate of just over $771,000. Jacobs, right at $740,000. On the inspection side, we have Ardura again at $690,000, just over. And then GEI Consultants, just shy of $795,000. Again, I just want to reiterate there that each one of these projects will be appropriated, funds will be appropriated for each specific project. So when a job's awarded, they'll have their monies in there for that specific project. We'll monitor it that way. So today, the recommendation here is here to request approved authorization to execute a contract with Ardura for both construction administration and inspection services in the amount of just over $1.4 million. Execute a contract with Jacobs for construction administration support services at $740,000. And finally, execute a contract with GEI for construction inspection services. I have administration up there. That should have been inspection services. I apologize for that. At amount of just shy of $795,000. That concludes my presentation, and I'm here to respond to any questions you may have.
Any questions on this item? Basically, we are making sure we have the expertise lined up, considering what we have coming our way with CPI.
Correct.
Okay. I had to simplify it for myself, but
thank you so much.
But no, that is wise management on your part, because I do know we have quite a full plate on CPI projects and.
It's going to be a busy few years.
So with that, I'll look for a motion on this item. Director Slauson will make the motion.
Second.
Director Corona.
Do the second on it. I'll get a roll call vote, please.
President Pauly?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
And that passes 5-2-0. Nicole, before you come up, we're going to take about a 5-minute break before we go on to informational items.